Hey, we want a healthcare deal too.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. There's an old saying in Detroit, if a key starts the car, then make a copy of it. Okay, I just made that up. But American automakers do tend to copy one another. For example, GM's new deal with the United Auto Workers to cut healthcare costs. The agreement will save $3 billion a year, and GM lost $1.6 billion in the third quarter alone. There's already word Chrysler wants immediate talks with the UAW. Analysts say Ford will probably get a similar deal, too. Besides the healthcare agreement, GM's also talking about selling off part of its financing arm. But GMA sees the one part of the company that makes money. So what are they thinking? Here's Marketplace business editor Cheryl Glazer.
You probably know GMAC as the folks who can help you buy a new car or truck at low, low interest rates. But you may not know that GMAC offers home and commercial real estate loans. It also sells insurance. And unlike its parent company, GMAC is making a profit, $675 million last quarter. So if General Motors sells part of GMAC, won't it be killing the goose that lays the golden eggs? Dave Cole with the Center for Automotive Research says that is a risk. But he says right now GM needs to stick to its knitting.
You can't think that your finance business is going to save your company over the long term. What ultimately will really make the company work is if they're able to sell profitably.
Besides, General Motors could get a nice chunk of change by selling a stake in GMAC. This kind of deal could also boost GMAC's credit rating and make it cheaper for the division to borrow money. I'm Cheryl Glazer for Marketplace.
When Alan Greenspan talks, people hang on just about every single word. Today, the Fed chief said skyrocketing energy prices will be a drag on the global economy, but he predicts the toll will be much smaller than the surging oil prices of the 1970s. Later this morning, we'll get another reading on inflation, the producer price index. The cost of jet fuel is a huge problem for the airlines right now, but that's not stopping a new luxury airline from taking flight today. Here's Ashley Milntie.
EOS's Boeing 757s have just 48 seats. Each one reclines into a bed, but before passengers get sleepy, there's plenty of room for small groups to have a meeting. Joe Brancatelli writes a website for business travellers. He says the airline could have trouble pulling transatlantic flyers away from well-established rewards programs.
They're probably already fairly elite customers on American or United, and they may not want to give up the perks elsewhere in the system by diverting travel these new companies.
But EOS CEO David Spurlock is bullish. He says EOS will win customers with the best non-unionized staff in the business.
They have been trained by groups that do training for high-end luxury hotel chains to deliver personalized and consistent service.
In a couple of weeks, another new carrier, MaxJet, will launch its business traveler service on the exact same route. I'm Ashley Milntie for Marketplace.
And EOS will be flying between New York and London. GM's healthcare deal with auto workers gave Wall Street a boost. The Dow climbed 60 points to finish at 10,348. The S&P 500 was up 3. The NASDAQ gained 5 points to 2070. This is Marketplace. Here's a labor dispute with lots of kick. Think Rockettes and babies. Mallory Kasdan sorts it out for us.
The high-kicking Rockettes were hopping mad recently after Radio City owner Cablevision Spectrum Corp locked them out of rehearsal for this year's Christmas Spectacular. At issue are moves by Cablevision to require dancers who've taken maternity leave to re-audition for the marquee Christmas show. Automatic slots for performers who've danced in previous spectaculars have been part of the Rockettes' contract for 15 years. Danny Parrish has been a Rockette for 10 years and is chief negotiator for the dancing troupe.
We just feel like in 2005, we're professional women. You shouldn't have to decide between having a baby and having your job.
The dancers have voted on a new contract, and results are expected this afternoon. Cablevision officials have indicated they would hire replacement dancers for this year's Christmas show if the agreement is voted down. In New York, I'm Mallory Kasdan for Marketplace.
Which is produced by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org, by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, mellon.com, and by Toyota, designing vehicles with hybrid synergy drive for fuel efficiency and low emissions. More at Toyota.com. Toyota, moving forward.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. The French have always had a love affair with smoking. But as most love affairs do, this one may be coming to an end. Not to say the French are giving up their smokes quite yet, but you can hardly find a pack of those famous dark, filterless cigarettes anymore. The last factory making them in France closed over the summer, so what's a fumeur to do? Eleanor Beardsley sends this report from Paris.
It's hard to find a French person smoking Gitane or her sister cigarette Gauloise anywhere these days. They're certainly not at the trendy sidewalk cafes where French youth puff away on what are known as blonde cigarettes. 19-year-old Stanislas de Villejean, who is enjoying a Marlboro Light, says it's almost unheard of for young people to smoke a Brune.
I don't know any young people who smoke brown tobacco. It's just old farmers or workers who do. Sometimes we'll smoke a filterless Gitane just for the thrill of it, because they're so strong.
Ah, but it wasn't always the case. Potent French filterless cigarettes used to be the trademark of glamour, conjuring up the heady world of French film stars and left-bank intellectuals. In the glory days, everybody smoked. And if you were French, that smoke was Gauloise or Gitane. Newspaper columnist André Berkoff says the filterless, dark brands represented a certain France that is now dying out.
It was really the symbol of the French cigarettes. There was the Celtic, there was the Gauloise, and there was the Gitane. You know, a great philosopher like Jean-Paul Sartre. Jean-Paul Sartre used to smoke Celtic. And I remember when I was 15, 16 years old, I say, well, I'll do like Jean-Paul Sartre, I'll smoke Celtic.
Since the last domestic dark cigarette factory closed in August, the government-owned cigarette maker now has only one factory running in Spain. And even though 1,500 people lost their jobs, it seems that not even the French unions wanted to make lung cancer a cause célèbre. Public health campaigns, smoking restrictions, and economic pressure have whittled away at smoking's popularity. The French government has doubled the price of cigarettes in the past 3 years alone, even on domestic brands. The French Parliament has already banned smoking in public transportation and is poised to make the country's restaurants and cafes non-fumeurs. But columnist Berkoff doesn't blame American tobacco imperialism for stubbing out the life of French cigarettes. After all, he notes, even the Marlboro man is faring poorly in his own country.
It is beaten by the politically correct that is expanding in all the world. It's you don't smoke, you don't eat, you don't drink, you don't make love, you don't go out.
Jean-Paul Sartre knows, sighs Berkoff. He admits that even he has given up the pleasure of an after-dinner Gitane. In Paris, I'm Eleanor Beardsley for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.